Awesome. Hey, XS, how you doing? My name's Pete. For those of you who don't know me, one of the pastors here on staff at Seeds. My privilege to be able to continue on from what Matt began last week, our Why How series. So last week, Matt spoke on the Bible, why the Bible is important for our lives and how we can apply it to our lives. He gave the opportunity to try some reading and reflecting, journaling through the acronym of SOAP, Scripture, Observation, Application, Prayer. Who's had the opportunity to do that actually through the week as well? Who's sort of pressed into that a little bit? Yep, a few of you. Yep, encourage you, like, don't let it be a barrier to keep on trying it, okay? It's not something that we don't want to make you say, oh, you have to do this, otherwise God's not going to bless you. But it's something, a practice, a discipline that is available for you to use. Tonight we continue Why How with prayer. Why is prayer important? How is it done? How does it make a difference? Now, what I'm bringing tonight, it's not going to be comprehensive. So it won't cover everything by any stretch. But hopefully it encourages conversation. And ultimately, that's what prayer is about. Conversation, communication. That's the whole point. And we're going to go into small groups after I've shared for a bit and we've had a song. And so you get the opportunity to unpack some of what's been shared, how you're going, and maybe some space as well to put into practice some of the things that we've talked about tonight. But don't sit there feeling anxious or starting to break out in a cold sweat. Okay, again, it's the intention of us going to small groups and talking these things through is to remind you, each of you, that we're on this journey together. We're all learning and growing together, and we're all here for each other. I want to be honest with you tonight. I've never considered myself to be a great prayer. And that may be a strange thing to say from the outset, especially as I want to talk to you about the importance of prayer and the need of prayer for our lives. But it's true. The perception I've had in the past, and still have at times, was that I'm not a great prayer. I didn't pray long enough. I didn't pray often enough. I didn't pray believing enough. And those thoughts were running through my head. And I'd actually start talking myself out of praying. I would talk myself out of a connection and a conversation with God. I found it hard to pray. I found it hard to focus. I found myself feeling guilty. You know those times where maybe you've done something wrong and you know something that God's not going to be pleased about? Yeah. And then to pray, to talk to God, surely he wouldn't be interested in hearing from me at that point in time. And most of the time, I just found it hard to know what to say. I found it uncomfortable sitting in silence, waiting to hear from someone I couldn't see. I found it deflating when I didn't get the immediate results I desired. I found it hard to pray. Now, I can easily, and perhaps for you as well, you create a long list of reasons why not to pray. Like from not feeling any good at it, to perhaps being bored while I pray. Let's be honest again, for a lot of us, I think sometimes we can view prayer as being a little bit boring. Our minds start to wander. Who's ever had that happen to them? You're in the middle of, like, you're praying and then you start thinking about other things. Yeah. Come on. Let's be honest. You're trying to pray intentionally for something, then within 10 seconds, you're thinking about something else. Unrelated or completely random. Perhaps it's, you know, food. Oh, God's trying to tell me something through my stomach. Maybe it's your Insta feed. I just got to check what's happening in someone else's life. Maybe it's someone you like and you wonder whether they like you back. Oh. I got to tell you, that happens to me all the time. Maybe not those last two things, but those distractions that can happen. And let's say it's Monday night and I'm praying. And mid-prayer, I remember I've got to take the rubbish out for collection for the next morning. Oh, that's right, I've got to do that. Or if I'm in the middle of praying for something, but I start scratching my arm because a mosquito has found my blood richer than my prayers. And I have to stop and have to put some cream on it or something, and it's just broken my focus, and then something else happens, and then something else happens, and then something else. And before I know it, I've lost focus, I've lost concentration, I've lost that desire. I start feeling a bit guilty about, I just can't even focus on a prayer with you, God, for 2 minutes. And I talk myself out of it again. Does that happen to anyone else? No one else? It's just me? Yeah, thank you. And we become, this sense, we start feeling like, oh, we're bored or we're distracted. And we feel guilty. And there can be times when we feel like we don't want to bother God with our small, seemingly insignificant requests, perhaps. Even times we don't think our prayers could actually make a difference. That's a big one. We've tried praying before and nothing seemed to happen. We've prayed for something and it seems that God didn't answer. And after a few tries, praying seems to be at best ineffective and at worst a waste of time. Now, I don't believe God is in heaven pointing his finger at us and demanding we shut off everything from the outside world into this little holy bubble every time we want to pray. But I do wonder if there are some ways that we can sharpen our focus, improve our practice, enliven our spirits to the power and presence of God in our lives through this conversation with God, which we call prayer. But here's the issue, that when prayer becomes an empty, meaningless ritual, it is boring. When prayer is like that, it is boring. If we fall into the practice of repeating the same phrases and the same words over and over each time we pray to God, prayer can seem just like it's token and just routine. So why pray? When you remember who it is you're talking to, who it is that you're spending time with, when you acknowledge that the God of the universe honestly is truly excited to hear from you, that truth alone will change your attitude towards prayer. The God who created the cosmos, created you, gave you breath, wants to spend time listening to what you have to say. It'll change your life, not just your prayer life. It can move the focus from yourself onto God. And that's the beginning of making prayer fresh and exciting, even fun. Daring to pray for things, seeing how God's acting and moving in certain things. That's where prayer is like talking to a close friend, you know, someone that you can share your heart with, your fears, your dreams. And I promise that over time, you'll discover that instead of a lifeless one-way conversation, prayer with God becomes exciting and life-changing relationship. You see, prayer is not meant to be like put in your request and get back your prize. Or enter the details, but then maybe walk away empty-handed. Prayer isn't like sending letters to Santa, as we saw in the video. Like one child who prayed, "Dear God, can you get me an iPhone? Because Santa seemed to forget." But that's what we can make it. That's what we can make prayer like. I want. I want. I want. And if I promise to do this, I promise to do this, God, if you will do that. If we have this mindset, then our faith becomes transactional. And our relationship with God, it's not meant to be transactional. It's meant to be transformational. Prayer isn't one of those vending machines where you try to win something, Let me tell you, you've already been granted all area access to what God has to offer you, to his presence in your life, and that's because of what Jesus did for you on the cross. You've been given that for you to receive it. And it's not about how much information you know on prayer, because we can often have that as a barrier of thinking, oh, I'm not sure I know exactly how to pray or what I need to say or how I need to be or whatever. It's not about how much you know on prayer or how much you even know about God. Again, it is a journey of us growing together in the knowledge of grace of God. Wherever you are in regard to prayer, don't worry, we have to start somewhere. Again, many of us fear we're not good enough, we're not eloquent enough, we're not passionate enough. Instead of trying and perhaps being a little bit clumsy to start with, we don't try at all. And that's what it was like for me for many years. And while these challenges may feel like big issues to overcome, you can face them and begin to see them diminish in size as your faith increases in capacity. Rather than viewing prayer as boring, prayer can be the heartbeat of all you do. And there are still times when I have these moments, though. And for yourself, even as you practice and grow in your prayer life, there may be those sort of times that you experience still. But I don't let my setbacks or my disappointments rob me from a one-on-one appointment that I can experience with God. What I want you to grab hold of tonight is how accessible prayer is and how simple prayer can be. How accessible prayer is and how simple prayer can be. But more remarkably, how accessible God is and how simple it can be to have a conversation with God. Why pray? Because God is moved by our prayers. He's moved by our prayers. And when you pray and God specifically answers your prayer, you will never be the same again. You see how he is alive, active, working through your life. When you pray but you don't see an immediate or precise answer to your prayer, continue still to trust in God. Trust that God in his wisdom is preparing you or working in that situation to create a grander story. A story beyond what perhaps we're meant to see right now. What do I pray about? What are the things I need to pray about? Do I need to have a bigger list like the guy and the prayer list with mum being up the top? Pray about whatever is on your mind. Pray about whatever's on your mind. The Apostle Paul knew the vital importance of communicating with God. He wrote a letter to the church in Philippi and talking about prayer life. Chapter 4, verse 4, it says, "Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon." And he starts heading into this direction of what to bring to God in prayer. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Pray about everything. Tell God what you need. Thank him for all he's done. Talk with him. Then you'll experience God's peace, the sense of God's presence coming into your life as you make that connection. A peace which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. It's being brave enough and bold enough to come before the throne of God and talk with him and sit, in a sense, to hear and listen from him. To create that space to be intimate with him. If you find out someone's unwell, pray that God will heal them. If your teacher drives you crazy, talk to God about them instead of just bagging them with your mates. I think it's pretty easy for us to talk about how frustrated we might be with something that's going on, whether it's in the classroom, whether it's the teacher, whether it's with a friend. Bring the issue before God. If you're worried about a test or exam or some other issue, pray for the ability to remain focused and able to retain the content. Not just, God, let it be a simple multiple choice with just those few questions I have looked at. Amen. Anyone prayed something similar to that? Just try to cram for something and you realize I'm in a lot of trouble here. Over the years, there have been a few times where I've tried that, similar situation. And let me say, prayer is great, but you also need to be prepared. After some of those experiences or disasters, I sense God say to me, I heard your prayer, but I saw your lack of prep. You need to do something too. It's not always up to me. So prayer is good, but we bring something to that as well. Again, as I said before, even when you don't see the results of the prayers that you've brought, you don't see it happening around you, those answers to prayers you desire, you can still sense God's presence as you grow to know him and trust him. And I've learned that the genuine communication to God may or may not change what God does. So even when we bring our prayers before God and talk our issues before God, it may change circumstances and it may not. But prayer will often, if not always, change your heart. And it will change your perspective. Prayer reminds you that you're not in control, but it keeps you close to the one who is. And that's what it means to be a follower of Jesus and to be a believer in what God has for your life, to walk closely with him. Mountains, valleys, stay close. Share with him what's going on in your life. Listen to the direction he wants to give you in life. How do we pray with purpose and understanding in a spiritually healthy perspective? Jesus gives us some direction in this. He actually addressed this issue with some of the religious leaders who loved to pray. And it talks about how they would stand out in public and they would make sure everyone could see and everyone could hear what they're saying. And they'd have these long, lengthy prayers, big words, and everyone's going, what's he talking about? And Jesus is trying to bring some sort of understanding to what it means to be honest and real, rather than trying to show off how much you know or your experience. It's just being authentic and real. And he says, pray like this, our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need. Forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. Don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. I went through that pretty quickly. But that's something I encourage you, if you want to journal and meditate, reflect over something, sit with that passage for a bit. It's something you might be able to do for a little bit in your small group time as well. For us, sometimes we repeat those exact words in different settings. But like we saw at the end of the video, I think what Jesus was trying to do was touch on aspects of our relationship with God, which we should be attentive to. You slow it down and you think about each aspect. What do we need to be attentive to? What was Jesus trying to communicate there? Rather than just being a whole lot of, it's a nice little poem or a phrase or some lyrics there that we can sing to, what does it mean by way of a relationship with God? And if a whole lot of talking isn't your thing, you say, you know what, I'm really not much of a talker. I don't think I can pray. If that's not your thing, that's actually okay. Because communication is seen in more than just speech. What I mean by that is the way you connect with someone, communicate with someone, it might not just be verbal. It might be sensing what's going on or doing something more practical that you actually sense God's presence through that. and you're thinking and drawing upon God as you're doing something. You're giving attention to who God is, his nature, his character. You're giving space and opportunity for him to speak into your life. So it might not be a case that you feel comfortable and it's an easy, simple thing for you to sit and pray out loud using words, 5, 10, 15, an hour. God wants to communicate and connect with you in the way that he's wired you. We talked about SOAP last week, as I've mentioned. Now, some of you may have come across this acronym, ACTS. This is sometimes used by people to help give form and shape to prayer. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication, big words. But like, notice where that is. Have I got that up? Yep. So this sense of, again, it's not, oh, I must do adoration first. I've put those up there as a suggestion for you to think, okay, what does my prayer life look like as far as how I'm connecting with who God is? Rather than just always being about me and what I want, to actually acknowledge who God is, his nature, his character, and adore him for that and worship him for that. Are there things in my life which I need to just confess before him and say, he already knows, but he loves to hear us say it and own up to it. Confess it, thanking him for what he's doing, thanking him for what he's going to do. Before we just get stuck into, God, this is what I need. The final thing I want to share is just how we pray. How we pray can be in our posture. And what I mean by that is not your physical posture, like whether you sit, whether you kneel, whether you stand, whether you pace, whether you lay back on the bed. And as you can see, again, it was some dangers in that as you're going to a nice comfy place. Not in our physical posture, but I mean in your inner posture before God. Do you honor him? Are you humble before him? Do you honestly want to be led by him? Where's your heart at? What's your heart's preparation and posture before God? If you have a posture in prayer that is humble before God, then you're giving God the worth he deserves. And you're giving recognition to who God is. And you're praising up his character. You're praising up his nature and his work in your life, in the world. You're acknowledging his sovereignty over all things, especially the circumstances in your life. And the Apostle Paul, just in closing, his posture was pretty evident throughout his life, and it was consistent. Because you read of the different things that he faced, the struggles he faced, it talks about him experiencing what he called a thorn in the flesh. And scholars, they don't know whether it was a physical ailment or if it was a person that was just nagging him and just at his case all the time. They're not sure about that. But whatever it was frustrating the heck out of Paul. So much so that he was praying about it and he was begging God to take it away from him. And yet God didn't answer his prayer. But that didn't change Paul's posture in who he trusts, in the God he trusted in. Another situation was where he found himself, a location. Again, it was in a cell. He was with another guy called Silas. And you can imagine how cold in those days, how cramped, how uncomfortable it might have been. So regardless of his physical posture, his spiritual posture was still right before God. Because in the midst of this being chained, being bound up, they start praying. They start singing hymns. There's an earthquake. Chains are loosed. Everyone is able to walk free. There's freedom that comes. Regardless of what situation Paul found him in, his posture before God was one which was submitting to God's authority, humble before him, willing to follow him wherever it would lead. Why pray? Why pray, excess? Because God is moved by your prayers. God's moved by your prayers. He knows your needs before you even utter them. But God longs to hear from you. Next team. Come on. Yeah. He longs to hear from you. And when you take those moments, say, I want to focus. And it may be just at the start. So, God, I'm going to give you a minute. Start at a length which you know you can achieve. But if you only get 30 seconds and something happens around you, don't be disheartened and think, oh, there you go, I stuffed up again. It's never going to work for me. Practice prayer. Not for the sake of being a prayer, but the sake of growing your faith and your relationship with God. Connect with Him, communicate with Him. Because as you do that, again, you're lifting up who God is in your life. And others around you will also see that. Say, man, I can see what the issues are that that person's going through. And yet there's something about them. They seem to have this, I can't understand it, but they've got this, it's like a peace that's in their life. Because you're lifting God up in and through your life. Whatever the situation, let's stand, Excess.